We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Webster's Dictionary defines the word action as follows. The accomplishment of a thing usually over a period of time in stages or with the possibility of repetition. The word action carries with it the idea of movement, of life, of activity, of accomplishment, a deed done or an achievement. And when you look at all that has taken place in the annual report, not just this past year, but over the course of the last many years, I think a better way to call this than the annual report would be an action report. Amen? All that God has been doing, the action that has been taking place. Note this morning, that action is a word that should be used to describe a church because it speaks of life and movement. Life and movement. Christ's work of redemption is complete, but the church has been commissioned to carry out the mission of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, making disciples, continuing on in the work. And friend, Christian, church member, church attender, guest, I want you to know there is no better work or action to be involved in than this work. No better work. There is no work, no action, nothing more important that will matter for all of eternity. No work that will be more rewarding. No work that Christ has ever given to anything other than the work of reaching people, making disciples, being involved in the body life of a church that every single believer has been called to do. It is the most important work that we have. Friend, church member, Christian, I want you to know something. When you look at the report, many of you were a part of this work. You were a part of the action. How many of you like action movies and it's kind of exciting and you see what's going on? Or maybe you're watching sports and you're like, man, how many of you still think you can do that? You're like, I can do that. Okay. Can I tell you something? Take that mentality and apply it to the church. Don't miss out on the action. Could you imagine when you stand before God and He says, I placed you at Faith Baptist Church. You were a part of that church and you didn't get involved in the action? He would have every right to look at us and say, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? There's so much happening. And the good news is you can jump in now this year. You can say, Hanani, here am I, and say, I'm going to be a part. Listen, church, remember something. Remember this. The Great Commission is a corporate commission and can only be fulfilled as God's people, His church, work together to carry it out. Note this morning, that our church is a part of Christ's continuing work that is taking place here on earth. I'm reading several books right now, and an excerpt from one of the books that I'm reading, the author of the book about church, about missionology, says this: our focus must be on making disciples, which includes a balanced emphasis on evangelism, assimilation, and spiritual formation. Listen carefully. Are you listening? Say amen. The Great Commission cannot be carried out and cannot be carried on without corporate fellowship found in the church. Following the giving of the Great Commission, Christ left a band of believers, the church, with a commission to preach the gospel, connect new believers to the group, and grow in spiritual maturity. This is a relationship between making disciples and the corporate group. The group is to go. The group is to baptize. The group is to teach. Maturity into full discipleship takes place in Christ's body, the local church. And all of God's people said, let me encourage you and thank those of you who have been on mission with our church. We have seen God do some amazing things. And what you have seen this morning is a snapshot. There is a lot more to take place. There are some exciting
things that as a pastoral staff and as the senior pastor where I'm privileged to pastor here, I cannot wait to share. There are some things happening now in the background radiating that are setting us up for an exciting fall. There's some things going on around the property, some things we're putting into motion, some things we're planning and preparing behind the scenes, things we're thinking about strategically, some shifts we're making in our church that's going to help us grow on a more sustainable path. And you say, well, what are they? Well, when you come back in the fall, I'll tell you about them, but that's for another day, all right? I want to encourage you, continue to co-labor with us. There's a lot of activity that is going on. And let me invite those of you and encourage those of you standing on the sideline, watching the action. I want to say this because I think it's important to say, and I think it's important for us to hear. Every one of us in here, and I know that's a big stretch, but I think a great majority of us have what I call a bad church experience. If you've had a bad church experience, raise your hand. It could be that maybe the pastor walked by you, didn't shake your hand. By the way, did you know that I do that on purpose? I'm just kidding. I woke up this morning thinking, who can I ignore? Can I tell you, I've had a bad church experience. I've had rough things happen to me at church. I have an announcement to make. Are you listening? You are not in a perfect church. And if you find a perfect church, don't go to it because you'll ruin it. We are imperfect people following a perfect Savior, and we are to pattern our life after Him. We are a family. We have issues. We have struggles. We have problems. We have things we're trying to do. We're changing groups. We're getting ready to strategically advance some things on our property and expand what we're doing. Do we always get it right? Do we always have all the answers? No, we don't. Maybe you've got a better way. You say, well, I've tried this and it didn't work, and I tried this and I tried church and it didn't work. Listen, I tried eating one time and got sick, but I ate again. Amen? Okay? So hang in there with us. We're working through some of these things together. And if you're on the sidelines and you're not actively engaged, get off the fence and get involved. Let's narrow that gap. Instead of it being 72%, which, by the way, the average member in a church that's involved, if you were to look at statistics, it's about 15%. So we're blowing that out of the water, all right? Listen, we don't want to lower the standard. We want to raise it. We don't need to look and go, well, we could lessen. That's not the point. The point is, I want to see all of us engaging in the work of the Lord. Come engage in the mission. Become an active part of the church. And speaking of action, go to Mark chapter 1. And when you're there, say, I got it, all right? Mark chapter 1. Oh, you guys knew I was going to be in Mark today? That's awesome. Now, there are only a handful of books in the Bible that move with such action as the Gospel of Mark. Some have described Mark as the Reader's Digest version of the four Gospels. And to be sure, Mark covers the journey of Jesus very differently than the other Gospel writers. One of the most important words, and if you're taking notes this morning, you should note this. It's not coming onto the screen, but I'm letting you know ahead of time. One of the most important words that stands out in the Gospel of Mark is an action word. Today is all about action. It appears as this word, it doesn't matter what translation you have, you'll see it. It appears as the word immediately or straight away or straightway. The Greek and anon is how it'll be spelled sometimes. So straightway and immediately. That is significant to the book of Mark because Mark uses that word 42 times and the word is only used 12 other times in the entire New Testament. So 42 times Mark is letting us know there's action immediately and anon, straightway. 42 times. You quickly get the idea that Mark is emphasizing the fast pace with which Jesus journeyed through his ministry life. Mark does not read like dry history. It is written in the present tense and full of movement and action. And we get a sense of this immediately upon reading the first verse. Mark is letting us know that God has broken into history. Jesus comes into the picture fast, not like Matthew where there's a lineage, not like Luke where there's a story, not like John where John takes us all the way back to the annals of time. It's like, look at Mark, here it is. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Bam, it's right away. There's not this long drawn out process. Some of you who are impatient, you're gonna love the gospel of Mark. Some of you have ADD, you're gonna love the gospel of Mark. Some of you are antsy and can't sit still. You're going to love the Gospel of Mark because it is an action-packed book. Now, to be sure, each writer has their own unique style. Under the influence and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, all books and writers are selective in what they include and what they leave out and the amount of detail that they share. In fact, if you want to look this up later, by the way, if you're on your phone now still looking at the annual report, get off, all right? We're in Mark now, all right? You can go to John 21:25, and here's what John says, that if everything Jesus ever did was to be written down, there would not be enough books to contain it. So it's very clear that what we've been given is something very succinct, very important, very descriptive. The birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, and thank God, the resurrection of Christ. This is the true aspect of every single book that we read. Mark writes from a sense of urgency. Jesus has come, and he is a man of action. And therefore, Mark wants us to focus not so much on all the teachings of Jesus, but more on the actions of Jesus. Now, I have a question for you. Have you ever heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words? You know where this is true, right? In your marriage. Ladies, you've been asking your husband to fix that door, change the light bulb, whatever it is you've been asking him to do. And you say, "Hun, you think you'll get to that?" And he goes, "I love you." And you're like, "I know you do, but I'm going to need to see a little action." Okay? Actions speak louder than words. And this is one of the underlying challenges of Mark to us. Because Jesus has come, we, church, have been called to action. We cannot remain idle. We cannot sit in neutrality. Look at verses 16 and 18. Right away, he calls Simon and Andrew. You can see this right away in the text. He says, "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishers." Church, at verse 17, Jesus said unto them, say it with me, would you read it? "Come after me, and I will make you" what? "Fishers of men." Christ's call is always a call to responsibility, a call to action, and a call to service. Not this only, but please note that it's always about identity. Notice with me again, go back up, verse 1. And by the way, that's all we're covering today. We're just going to hit verse 1 as a platform to jump to where we're going to go. The next several weeks in Mark, we're going to be moving. But there's so much richness in this first verse that sets the tone and the tenor for where we are. Notice in that first verse, it sets the course of the journey we're going to make. Who he is, the Son of God, and then what follows is what he does as the Son of God. So who he is and what he does. How many of you remember... I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so if you did this or you had one or you had this sticker or shirt or a bracelet, it's okay. I'm not here to pick on you. Don't misjudge me, all right? Hear my heart, all right? But how many of you remember the whole WWJD thing? You know, like, what would Jesus do? It was so annoying to me. You say, why was that annoying? Read what he did. You want to know what Jesus would do? He left you a gospel to know what you would do. So you could say, yes, this is how I'm to pattern my life after. It's not about what Jesus would do. It's what he did. It's understanding that, and it's patterning our life after that. You see, Mark uses several phrases to describe Christ. He asserts in that very first verse, he asserts that Jesus is the Christ. The word Christos was a Greek word meaning anointed royal figure. It's Mark's way of referring to the Messiah, the one who was coming to administer God's rule on earth and rescue sinners and redeem Israel. Jesus was not just a king, but friends, Jesus is the king. Mark also says in the text, he says, the Son of God. This is a claim to outright divinity. Mark is rooting Jesus in history and makes claim that Christ the King has come, and what follows in his writings is many of the actions of Jesus. You see, the Gospel of Mark begins, look at your Bible, it begins with the declaration that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. And all through the book of Mark, he presents Jesus as a servant with power to accomplish the mission of God. He was a man of deeds more than mere words, a man of action more than speculation, a man of power more than weakness. And the Gospel of Mark pictures Jesus Christ in action. There is a minimum of discourse and a maximum of deeds. And as you look at this very first verse, you see one other phrase, one more word, one more thing that we need to see. He says this, the gospel of who? Jesus Christ. That is significant. The phrase is designed to get our focus on the person and work of who? Jesus. The gospel, from where we get our word evangelize, from where we get the word evangel, to bring joyful tidings, spoken or written. It was used by Jews and Gentiles alike to announce good news. And anytime a major occasion was going to take place, an evangel would announce or read the joyful tidings. And what Mark is doing here is he is elevating these joyful tidings by drawing on the prophetic texts concerning Christ and announcing that there is more to just a writing of joyful tidings. There is now a living word of hope from the lips of God's anointed messenger, Jesus Christ. As John said, the word became and dwelt among us. And Mark says, he's here right now. Watch this. Now, there's three things you need to know about Mark. As he talks about Jesus, everything points to Christ. All of our songs for the next several weeks as we worship, who do you think they're going to be about? That was kind of sad. Who's it going to be about?
Jesus.
Because everything's pointing to him. Christ is the suffering servant Savior. This study is going to lead us all the way up to Easter and just after as we talk about the ascension of Christ. Now, the center of the bullseye, this whole thing lands, if you will, the center of the bullseye. We understand this mission of Jesus is found in Mark 10:45. You don't have to turn there. It'll be on the screen for you. Notice, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, say it with me, and what? Give his life a ransom. The priority of Jesus was to seek and save the lost. This was his mission, and he was always about his Father's business. This verse is the overarching theme of Jesus' life and ministry. Mark has two main sections. Two main sections. It's divided up. Number one, Jesus and his life of service. And number two, Jesus and his life in sacrifice. Say it with me. Jesus and his life in service and Jesus and his life in sacrifice. One more time. Jesus and his life of service and Jesus and his life of sacrifice. The focus is always on Christ. Why did he do what he did? In the manner in which he did it. The entire book of Mark is pointing us to Jesus. The whole book. Now, I've said all of that. I get ready to close, to prompt this question. And I'm about to ask you, balcony, venue, the most important question you will ever be asked in your life, and you have to know how to answer this question. No one can answer it for you, and that is this: who is Jesus to you? This is it. Who is Jesus to you? This is the question that Mark drives us relentlessly to, and it comes to a head in a place called Caesarea Philippi. And in Mark chapter 8, it says this, "And as Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, who do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Some... one of the prophets." Now, here's the quintessential question. Here's the question that will alter the course of your life forever. He said unto them, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said unto him, "Thou art the Christ." Jesus asked this question in a very unique place. I actually got to stand with my wife and a group of other people. And if you'll come with me to Israel when I take a trip, you'll get to go there as well. I stood in Caesarea Philippi, right there. Now that shot may not look very unique, but if you look closely, you'll see carved into the mountain are cutouts and alcoves. And in the midst of all of these, and there wasn't tens and twenties, there were hundreds. There was a very steep cliff. It was so high and so cold that day, we couldn't even get up to the top. If you look at the next picture that we have, I tried to take this shot so you could get a broader picture. And in this very spot is where all of the gods and all of the temples and all of the little gods and all of the sacrifices, blood sacrifices, human sacrifices, goat sacrifices, animal sacrifices. This is where everyone would, there was a God for everything. And in the midst of all of this worship and all of this wickedness and all of this craziness going on of who people were worshiping, Jesus gathers his disciples and he looks at them. And in the backdrop of all of this, he says, "Who am I to you?" who am I to you? And you have to answer that question. Friend, we today live in a world full of gods. We're the country of American Idol. We have more places of worship and a denomination to suit everyone. And many places in our country, there's a church building on almost every corner. You see, Jesus was not asking about their heritage, their tradition, their denomination. He was asking, who am I to you? Do you know me? Do you believe me? Do you understand who I am? You see, until you can answer the question of who Jesus is to you, your identity will always be found in something or someone else. If you are not in a personal relationship with Christ, you will never fully know and experience your purpose in life. This is why you must repent and come to Him and abandon all of the false gods and all of the wickedness and realize that Jesus is the only way, church. Knowing Christ defines our purpose, directs our passions. Knowing Christ is that we pattern our life after Him. Knowing Christ means we pursue His glory and we point other people to Him. And if, it's a huge if, like Mark and Peter eventually, we believe and we identify with Christ, then our lives will be filled with a sense of mission and purpose, and it'll be marked by action. In his book on mission and in his book on the church, R.T. Tibbett writes, Mark presents our role as servants of Christ, preaching the good news of salvation and persuading men and women, boys and girls, to place their faith in Christ alone. Mark records Jesus saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Among other things, this means that as disciples, we are to be obedient and do our part in spreading the good news about Jesus Christ. We are to be people of persuasion, boldly declaring Jesus Christ to be the only way of salvation. And here's the amazing thing. The fact that God has chosen to work through us for the fulfillment of His mission in the world is, of course, a great mystery. Since God is sovereign, He is sufficient to accomplish evangelism without human agency. The Godhead is the ultimate agent for mission. The Father planned redemption, the Son carried it out, and the Holy Spirit applies it to the heart of the individual. And wonder of wonders, we partner with Him in this mission. I got good news for you. God wants to use you. You ever get picked last on the team? You ever feel like you always come in last place? Guess what? If you're a born-again believer, God has chosen you to partner with Him on the mission of reaching and making disciples for the kingdom. You see, the life of a believer is one of action, one of mission, one of movement. And if you know Christ and you are in Christ, then ultimately you will not be inactive because following Christ always leads you to a life of service. Did you hear what I just said? It'll always lead you to a life of service. Christian, Jesus has not called us to be spectators, but partners with Him in the mission. And we all have a part in the work. We've all been called to a life of action. And let me just say this. While our identity is not found in the church, but in Christ, the church is the primary place where we publicly identify with other believers and continue carrying out the mission of Jesus. I read this last week about a church that recently closed. Just in our country, in the month of January, about 385 churches closed their doors. This year alone, in our country, upwards of over 3,000 churches are going to shut. You can drive around our community and see them. There's one closed right up here in Little. And you can say, well, they weren't like us. Listen, stop it. You ought to grieve that a church went shut. There was a sign hanging on the front of the church door that read this, gone out of business. And one of the church members later came by and wrote these words, we never knew what our business was. As awful as a government shutdown is, it's a tragedy of eternal impact for a church to stop working, become inactive, and ultimately close. Now, I have to tell you that about 11 years ago, not quite, but close to 11 years ago, I was sitting at our other property in my first office. I actually ended up moving. Some of you may remember that, but when I first got here, there was a tiny little office in the back way, in the back hallway, and I was sitting there. I'd only been pastor here for a couple months, and I was trying to figure out why our church had shrunk and why our church has had died and was literally in the process of dying, not quite dead, but almost. It was on life support. Dr. Shoemaker said it was one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. And I couldn't figure it out. And I was new here. I had just got here. I was trying to understand the history of our church. And I was so bothered, and I couldn't seem to find answers. And I thought, well, Lord, if you've called me here, and this is where I'm supposed to be, and there was a core group of faithful people who were faithful to prayer, faithful to the church, and I said, okay, Lord, this is what you've given me. And I sat down in my office, and I pulled out this great big blue binder that had three rings in it. And in that binder was notes and minutes from meetings and past agendas, and just, it was just thick reports. And I started flipping through the binder, and my eyes kept falling to a phrase. There would be the notes of a meeting or an agenda there or something, and there would be things that needed to be taken care of. And next to these items, consistently, time and time again, not for weeks, not for months, but for years, there was a phrase that was sticking out to me like a sore thumb, like a red light on the dashboard of your car. And it said this phrase: no action taken. And I turned the page, and I would read, and I'd come down, and at the end, no action taken. And I'd turn, no action, no. And I finally just closed the binder. And I just broke at that desk. I prayed. I called a leadership meeting with the few that we had. And I said, I have an announcement to make. And I held up the binder and I said, I've gone through this, and dropped it on the table. And I said, we have been a church of inaction long enough. No longer will Faith Baptist Church be a church where no action is taken. This is not going to be our legacy. This is not how we're going to do church. This is not the way things are going to be. And I'm so thankful for those core group of leaders and those core people who gathered around. You know, the church at one point had been growing. The church at one point had been doing great things. But can I tell you something? It only takes a few people to cause a stink in a church. It only takes a few people to cause an issue. And Pastor Davis, I love that man. And the 23 years he was pastor here, let me tell you something. It about drove him to an early grave, all the issues he was dealing with. All of the fighting and the feuding. And I remember sitting with him across the table at a really fancy restaurant called Steak and Shake. And with tears in his eyes, he took his glasses off and he said, Todd, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad the church has called you to be the pastor. And I want you to know, I'm going to be praying for you. He said, if I could go back, I would change some things, but I can't. He said, but I'm praying God will use you and the handful of people that are left to do great things for God. And I want to tell you, God answered that faithful man's prayer. And God is continuing to do great things here. And so what does this look like for us? Three things as we prepare to close. Number one, we must continue to actively exalt the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said? Number two, we must faithfully and continually and actively engage in the mission. And all of God's people said, engage in the mission. Say it with me, engage in the mission. And number three, we must encourage one another. Say it with me, encourage one another. This is God's church. We are His people. He has put us together for such a time as this. Let's all say together, Hineni, here am I. Let's serve the Lord and let's continue to do what God's word tells us to do. Let's keep exalting the name of Jesus. Let's keep lifting Him on high and let's keep going and making disciples for the glory of God. And all of God's people said, amen. Would you bow with me in prayer?
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.